Ladies and gentlemen, good morning. From our part, we would like to thank the organizers for arranging this event for us today and for everybody to be here and having these great sessions during the day. I'm Marios Kosma. I will moderate the tech panel, and I'm here having some distinguished guests. First, as you already met, is the Honorable Deputy Minister of Research, Innovation, and Digital Policy of Cyprus, Mr. Nikodimos Damianou. We have also with us the Vice President and General Manager of Google, Mr. Evan Kotsovinos. We have Mr. Yorgos Zacharias, which is the co-founder of Insurify, specializing in AI. We have the Senior Director of UN and International Organization of Microsoft, Mr. Simon Liebold. And also we have Mr. Andreas Panagi, the founder of Kinesis Ventures and the founder of Kinesis Ventures Fund, which is set up a fund in Cyprus and investing in tech companies. So from our part, I would like to say that Cyprus, since 2015, has started to invest into technology and has decided to enhance all infrastructure in order to enable tech companies to relocate to Cyprus. We have done a lot of work. I have been involved since the beginning of this plan of the government. And there has been a lot of work in setting up infrastructure, setting up the legislation in order to enable companies to relocate to Cyprus, enable tech companies to relocate their staff in Cyprus, secure their IP, and also enhance the legislation, which secures not only the infrastructure and how these companies will be able to be working in Cyprus, but also to provide a good tax regime that the Deputy Minister has already mentioned, which provide a very attractive packages for the companies that would like to set up and promote their businesses from Cyprus. Today, I think the main questions that we want to address is what kind of infrastructure currently exists in Cyprus, the opportunities that the technology companies and the companies that will want to invest into technology will have in Cyprus, and finally, what are the commitments of the intentions of the government going forward and how they will secure this infrastructure which was already in existence and enhance it first. So I will pass the speech to the guests, to the panelists. Would like to start? Maybe the Deputy Minister?
Okay. Yes, I'm going to be quick as well because you heard me already, and I want to pass it on to our guests, and thank you all for being here. When we talk about infrastructure, I think we need to be, we should understand, we shouldn't be talking about just the machines. Okay, infrastructure means a lot of things, and we are here to attract investments. So what do global companies want? And they are here to tell us, actually. They want access to talent. They want to know that there is an environment that is conducive to making business, to going, to having access to the rest of the ecosystem in the country, but also to global markets. They want this to make sense. And that's exactly what we covered already, following the introduction by Evangelos. So all of that is part of what we are doing when we talk about building the infrastructure to support technology. Because, everybody wants a data center. Not all of the countries are going to get one. And it doesn't make sense to do that, actually. We want one, but in the right sense. So in order to make sense, it needs to be part of a bigger discussion. Okay, it could be a cloud setup that relates to the FSI industry, where Cyprus is a leader, or something else. But that's not the main goal here. So we need to understand that. And having said that, I think I'm only touching part of what you are asking. I want to pass it on and open the discussion.
Perhaps I'll jump in with a couple of thoughts. First of all, I wanted to congratulate the minister and Cyprus more broadly for what is a very thoughtful and clearly very comprehensive strategy to drive ICT growth in the country. You know, the cloud-first policy that you have that's becoming AI-first and the thriving startup ecosystem and all those things clearly paint a picture that you take it seriously and you're very thoughtful and you're staying the course. And that's really important to your point. I think the opportunity, there's a big opportunity, not just for Cyprus, but for Europe in AI, in my opinion. Europe is at a very interesting, pivotal moment in its history for many different reasons. I think driving productivity is going to be one of the keys to unlocking a better future for Europe and for its citizens. We estimate that AI can drive about 1.2 trillion euros of growth in Europe over the next several years. And so, in my mind, the question is how can Cyprus play a bigger part in that journey? And I have a couple of thoughts on that. One, I think it's important to continue with driving the adoption of AI in the country, both by the government and by the private sector. A large part of the private sector, not just in Cyprus, but in Europe, is small and medium enterprises, and those generally find it harder to adopt new technology. So I think it's important to provide both incentives and training and support for small and medium enterprises, as well as the government in adopting AI. The second thing I would focus on is the talent market, the skills in the talent market, particularly with respect to AI and how to drive continuous progress and development there. And lastly, you touched on the idea of a regulatory sandbox. I think that's really interesting. Companies like Google and others, I think we would love to see a way to be compliant and to be within the EU regulatory framework and at the same time have ways to innovate faster. And so I think those ideas, Singapore has done some really interesting things in that space in financial services. Those ideas are really quite interesting to me.
If I may, before we sorry to just jumping in with a thought, and I'm borrowing that thought actually, in terms of AI, and we have experts, and by the way, Yorgos is part of our national AI task force announced in January, so I want to thank you for being here. But a quick thought is, well, not necessarily only those who invent this technology that we call AI, those who are building the huge, large language models are going to be the winners here. The winners are going to be the ones that apply this technology, and in doing so, they design the best business models. And I heard this from someone else. It was the Dutch who invented the printing press. Excuse me, the Germans actually, but it was the Dutch and the British who printed the most books. So that's a good analogy, I think.
If I may, we invest in technology companies, in early stage technology companies, and we started looking at Cyprus in 2018 is when we actually thought that coming from the U.S. to look at Cyprus as a potential source of early innovation. With that said, you know, success or attracting technology companies to the island, to Cyprus, you need success stories, among other things. So infrastructure, critical, obviously, and the government is doing some neat stuff. We need more, but definitely the spotlight is on it, and it's done a tremendous job since we started looking at Cyprus as a technology source. But a big piece of the puzzle is success stories. Success stories attract attention, create exits. People go back and help others. So you get the ecosystem flowing with people that have done it, they know how to do it, and then they can help others. So I won't stay on the infrastructure because Evan and the minister suggested some incredible things, and we're seeing the evolution. But as investors, we're interested in parts of the infrastructure that will help the scientists and the entrepreneurs get on their feet. And the grants, obviously, is a wonderful thing. And the minister's section under your supervision, the grants are distributed, you know, to the right people, to the right companies, the right ideas, some really interesting programs. But in addition to that, we do need some re-looking at the regulation when it comes to universities and who owns the IP and how do you push the scientists to become entrepreneurs and not just scientists. All these things are a big part of the evolution, and as investors, we need that. So Cyprus is a small place, but it's packed with a lot of very smart people. We need resources to teach them how to move an idea into a commercial, viable commercial product company. And then we need resources that they can hire so they can help them get to the next level. We're not big. It's not a volume game, but it's a value game, Cyprus. You'll find value and not volume. And again, as investors, that's what we're looking for.
And I can, I think even this panel is a testament to how much Cyprus matters, right? So having Google, Microsoft here, but also having this setup of this panel, because I think this is what we are facing right now. It's no longer about technology only. You need an ecosystem, like you said. You need entrepreneurs, you need big tech, but you also need finance. My background is in government affairs, which is probably the most boring of this whole panel. But it shows that we are kind of at a transition where all of these things need to come together to be very effective. And for Cyprus, and I heard it yesterday at the dinner, that location is destiny. I think that comes on top, right? So this is almost a cherry on top of what you already have, and you showed tremendous progress. And I can only applaud the minister and the country itself for the e-citizenship and e-residency project they are driving, the partnerships that you are doing with the UAE, Estonia, all kind of blueprints for how to do that. So again, I think there is not even a question of why, it's just to how to go from here and be even more successful.
Yorgos, I also applaud all the investments in the infrastructure. It obviously makes it easier for companies that are or thinking to come. I think part of the ecosystem creation could be borrowed success. It could be companies from Israel or the Gulf states who want a location into Europe. We are the most convenient location for them. And actually, I know companies who have placed people in Cyprus, especially during the unrest that we are seeing right now in Israel and Palestine. So I think one key area of investment has to be an infrastructure of deregulation. Make it easier for them to come. There is a friend of mine, another Cypriot, he just raised $15 million for his startup in Boston. He's trying to hire people in Cyprus, and he's stuck in bureaucracy to know your customer issues for 3 months. Let's make it easier for these people to come to the island. I think the location, the climate, the talent pool are huge advantages, and we have to make it easier for everyone.
I think that's important. One thing that I would highlight is, to your point, I think the regulation will definitely help people come. At the same time, if you are building, whether you're building a model or you're building applications of the model, and I agree with the minister in terms of opportunities there, the market is not going to be the island. The market is going to be larger. So you want to make sure that whatever regulatory framework you're building in is going to be compatible with what you're going to be selling to. And so it's important to deregulate, but only consistently with the EU, not standalone, in my opinion. Yep. You want to get the EU along on the journey.
Yeah, EU is only one piece of the equation. We look at the United States. At the end of the day, you can't beat the United States when it comes to growth opportunities, when it comes to resource opportunities. So, yes, we are in the EU, but as an investor, I'm interested in the company that we invest in that looks at as big of a market as possible. So it's not a no, it is, we gotta look at it, the way we look at it, is we will invest in a company that can succeed outside of the borders. And if that is Cyprus, is Mediterranean, Europe, it doesn't really matter. What are the ingredients? And I think next, at the end of the month, we're bringing four of our portfolio companies to the United States. Early startup companies, phenomenal scientists. They've never been to the New York market. So when we met and set them up, what we said to them wasn't, let's go and raise money, even though they will meet with investors. Basically, we said, let's go and get punched. Because they will get punched. What does that mean? They've never been in front of a U.S. investor. Different mindset. So those experiences, we need to pump more into the ecosystem. And that should not be the responsibility of only the investor. It should be the responsibility of the ecosystem to support that.
Okay. And I can jump in and say that during this trip, we are seeing global technology companies, but we are also seeing startup accelerators. We are seeing VCs. These are also important. And this is to address exactly what you are saying. But going back to deregulation maybe and access to funding, I think that's a problem that Europe has in general. And if you've been following the discussion on AI, and I think AI defines the discussion on digital now, there is a slight change, maybe a fundamental one, between what was discussed a year ago and what was discussed in the panels the beginning of this year. Last year it was all about, yes, this is a great technology, great prospects, but how do we control it? And also, is AGI ever coming? Now this year it was forget about controlling it, who is going to get there first, mm-hmm. and not if AGI is coming, but when AGI is coming. Now, there is a shift there to simplify for the first time last month, I think it was, at the AI board in the EU, where we discussed the AI Act. The subject, the title was Simplification of the AI Act. I think that's unheard of for Europe. So, and also put more funding in. So we want funding. We realize that it's part of what we need to fix as Europe, I think, in general, and also simplification of the regulation. So we are following that path. I think we are one of those EU countries that are strongly advocating these directions. And point well taken about the deregulation.
And Evan, maybe you can, from your experience, you can tell us how AI can adopt it in economies and enhance the economies.
I was going to...
Because that's what the Europeans want to hear as well, if we are going to integrate all this together, regulation, innovation together.
I mean, there are many, many opportunities, and it will be adopted in many different fields. Probably the most exciting field is in medicine, where it's driving drug discovery and really huge advances in being able to analyze data and drive medical outcomes. But the one thing that I wanted to mention listening to the discussion is perhaps the confluence of cybersecurity and AI. There are real opportunities to use AI to drive huge advances in cybersecurity for the world. To give you a couple of examples, we have this AI agent that's called Big Sleep, which we launched last November. It's still experimental. It's early, very early days. But this agent is basically a living AI. That's why it's called an agent. That's going around and looking at software, not just Google software, but software from other companies, Microsoft and everybody else. And it's finding vulnerabilities in software. And then it's creating fixes that we then give to the developers who roll them out and fix vulnerabilities in software. You know, you could imagine a future where those types of technologies create a huge change for the better in the security of the world. Another example is we have a new model that we're announcing today, actually, which is called Sec Gemini, Security Gemini, which is a version of Gemini trained for cybersecurity that security professionals around the world can use to detect and address threats in a much, much faster, much better way. I think Cyprus being in the location that it is, with the cybersecurity focus that you have, with the AI focus that you have, this may be another area where maybe interesting opportunities.
It's a fact that cybersecurity is one of those industries that is going to take off, and part of the reason is because it's one of those cases where you have two actors, good actors and bad actors. And what AI did is it put in the hands of the many what used to be in the hands of the few, the companies that created these cybersecurity solutions. AI just democratized all that, and now the bad actors also have access to build this sort of AI agent. So just an interesting one. But yes, we are focusing on that, and we are collaborating with countries like Israel, the U.S. as part of the strategic dialogue that our ambassador mentioned. So that's another area we are focusing on. Yes.
Sam, I just wanted to address to you as well. You mentioned before the regulation and the relationship that Cyprus have not only with the EU because it's part of the EU, but also with the UAE, basically the Arab countries, which is a huge market as well for everybody. So would you like to comment on that?
Sure. I think this is a great, it's not even the UAE as its market itself, but UAE also almost as a role model, similar like Estonia, because this is the whole ecosystem what we are talking about, right? This is no longer, and for example, my background, I'm working in a team that Microsoft has that is exclusively focusing on work with the United Nations, which a lot of other companies, we're actually the only private sector currently who has a physical representation at the United Nations, but we hope others will follow suit. But the main reason is because the topics we are discussing are becoming global topics. And it goes from cybersecurity, it also goes into skilling, it goes into provision of infrastructure. And I think this is the challenge we are having, and this is where Cyprus did such a fantastic job to position themselves, right? So Cyprus, similar like the UAE, as a gateway not only to Europe but also into the Global South, which is one of the coming markets. And this is something, for example, where the UAE with G42 as one of their main facilitators for this expansion is working. And for that, and this gets them back to this global aspect, we talked before about the US, Europe, but actually this is broader, right? So, and this is what our aim is, and I think what everyone's aim should be, a global harmonization for a regulatory framework around this technology. And I think this is, working with them is, and learning is so important.
So would you agree with me that if within Cyprus is in the EU and follows all the regulations, which is in alignment with the US, then with Cyprus and its connections with the Arab countries and with Asia, this will enhance this vision that you are
absolutely
sharing
ultimately
with us now?
I think businesses, what we all want is predictability, right? And an operation modus that is scalable, and I think this helps by aligning globally. It is also, it's a very ambitious task. Let's not kid ourselves, right? So it is something that is very hard. But for example, the UN is doing a great job. They started an advisory body towards AI. They were implementing several global frameworks, and I think this is the right way of thinking about these topics.
Your was about the AI. Would you like to add something?
If I can speak a little bit about the company is a marketplace for insurance. And some consumers come to the marketplace, do the comparisons, they click, they buy their insurance, they're done. Many want to talk to a human agent, AI agents. So there are certain areas where it's a mundane data collection that the agent needs to do, and doesn't have to be an actual licensed agent. So we're replacing those pieces with AI. And then our existing agents can serve many more customers because they don't have to do that boring stuff. This can be anywhere. All our agents are distributed all over the U.S. Could I have agents in Cyprus? Maybe. I don't want to even explore the regulation aspects of that.
I want to make sure that we touch on a couple of things that are very tactical as well. Because it's wonderful to talk about, you know, the big possibilities of AI and the big possibilities of what we all need to be focused on. But there are some very specific things that if we don't continue to evolve, there will be no foundation for this wonderful technology to get to where we want to go. So I'm going to throw a couple of thoughts out there, and I think that the minister and his team is already working on a lot of this stuff, but I think it's important for the audience to realize that we're working on these things, because this is the foundation for what we want is investment into Cyprus. So in addition to deregulation, which I agree, or other kinds of regulation that will help unleash more ideas, as we create you know, some funding opportunities through the government, whether it's the equity fund, the European equity fund, and or some of the grants that are free of equity. We need to continue to develop the early stage venture capital concept. We can't have one or two entities invest. There needs to be more. So what do we do to create expand the investment ecosystem? What do we do to make sure that the funding that goes into some of these great ideas are funding commercial ideas and not just research? Because evolving ecosystems tend to confuse the two, research, innovation, and commercial activity. So what do we do to start separating these two things? Because it's important. I can have great ideas, but if they're not commercially viable, they're great papers. So how do we continue to evolve all that? Because that's the foundation that some of these great ideas will just lay on top.
That's all. Unfortunately, we're out of time. So just from the ministry, if it has to conclude, some concluding statements.
Just a point on the previous one. Obviously, this is interesting and this is tactical. I believe there is a session later for investment, so we'll hopefully get some answers there. But thank you all for joining and thank you all for listening. Thank you.
Thank you.